Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And this is Chester Hanks.
Big up the whole island massive. It's your boy Chetana, coming straight from the Golden Globes, you watching? Me see me father Tom Hanks presenting in a while soon forward come. Big up, tune in.
I mean, it's not the worst thing he's ever done.
I think that's the best way to put it. It's not the worst thing he's ever done.
As any Tom Hanks fan, long time Tom Hanks fan knows, Chet Hayes is the kind of loose puzzle piece in the whole thing of it all.
Yeah, he's the son of Tom and Rita.
They have two.
He's their oldest son.
Sons.
He's a rapper slash actor slash Instagram user. And people often, you know, he comes up sometimes and then he goes away and then he comes up and then he goes away. And he's currently coming up because he was at the Golden Globes with his parents.
He also, like, recently in the past 4 years got sober and had a kid. So, like, his life was just very drama. And now it's a little bit less drama. He's doing less less rapping and more acting.
And he sort of quieted down.
Yeah.
You know.
But everyone
forgot. We've been seeing less of him, but that's sort of a good thing, whatever.
Right. But everyone forgot about him, and then he was front and center at the Golden Globes last night. Everybody was like, oh, yeah, remember, like, Tom Hanks' son, who's, like, a little bit, you know, unexpectedly Tom Hanks'
son. They brought the whole clan there today.
All the kids.
Because they brought the kids with Tom Hanks's other kids, his non-Rita children, his Rita children.
Even his non-Rita children were invited. Well,
his
Colin Hanks is a non-Rita child, so it's not like they're not talked about or referred to. They're usually there.
Colin Hanks is a non-Rita child, Elizabeth is a non-Rita child, and then Truman and Chet are Rita children.
But we only really care about Chet Hayes. We really only care about him.
Colin's boring. Elizabeth isn't an actor. Truman's a little too young to have actually had his, you know, coming out party, you know?
Can we focus on the real, like, relevant Tom Hanks news, which was Rita Wilson?
Well, I didn't even get to say, Rita Wilson commented on this video of Chet doing his thing, and she just said, maybe the best laugh of the night, crying laughing emoji.
Oh, boy.
It's like, she's so supportive.
Oh, boy. Rita
Wilson is the Hollywood version of, he's so talented.
I know,
I'm so proud of him.
He's so talented.
He's so talented.
They really don't comment directly about what Chet Hayes is doing.
No.
Like, they're really not, like, getting, they're not really, you know, whatever.
No, that's what their PR person is like, just don't talk about it. It's fine.
Rita's night was not without drama of her own.
She needed a laugh.
She tweeted around, God, when did she tweet this? Like, around?
Well, the Golden Globes start at noon LA time. So this was probably around 6 a.m. that she tweeted this.
My hair and makeup person is 1 hour and 20 minutes late. Next tweet. Hair and makeup is still not here, trying to be zen. Next tweet. Booked this person in September, hair and makeup still not here. And if that's, like, not bad, she went over to Instagram, because the woman loves to cross-platform, tweeted up, Instagrammed a picture of herself with, like,
her hair
that looked, you know, slightly curly, not blown out, not done up, and said, I don't even have the link, but, like, a version of those tweets. Again, my hair and makeup person is late.
And this was about 1:30 LA time is when she tweeted it.
Okay.
And she said, what you look like when your hair and makeup person for the @GoldenGlobes is 1.5 hours late, even though you booked him in September. We'll leave 1 hour to do hair and makeup.
What?
It'll only leave him one. She's like, how will I do this in 1 hour?
Well, you know
she
what? I saw her that night and she figured it out.
She looked great.
Loved.
She always pulls through.
Julianne Moore commented, oh my God, I feel you.
Michelle Pfeiffer commented, heart. Kate Bosworth commented, oh, that's the craziest feeling.
And of course,
you look gorgeous anyway, though.
The most Chrissy Teigen comment, which was, I cannot go on until I know who. I have no life. It's like, who the fuck needs to know who the makeup artist is? Like,
Rosanna Arquette is on a different planet and just says, beauty, love you, bravo to Tom. Rose, 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 clap, 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 balloon, peace sign, prayer hands.
Wow. That's really funny.
Rosanna Arquette is like, I don't know what's happening.
Rita Wilson, and I'm not saying this without evidence, like, via unnamed sources, but also these tweets themselves, like, she's kind of a monster.
I mean
come on. No?
I feel like
celebrities like love her, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I mean, the rumor mill is grinding out news that she's a bit of a monster, but that's okay. Not everyone, I mean, especially you're a monster when you're married to Tom Hanks. Just buy it, like, the comparison. Let's juxtapose these two people. I mean, come across as a little more monstrous whenever your husband is
right,
Tom Hanks.
It's true. Like, the sacrifice you make by being married to Tom Hanks is that you come off as a monster. Because, like,
it's like Mr. Rogers' wife. People are like, you know, I loved Fred, but his wife was a bitch.
Right. And it's like, duh, she was a bitch.
And it's like, maybe she was slightly mean once, you know?
Yeah, but I do feel like looking at Rita, those tweets, I'm just like, what is her? What's your damage, lady, looking at those three tweets?
How have we been talking about the Golden Globes for 8 minutes and only been speaking about the Tom Hanks family?
I know, and it's not even like in our wheelhouse.
What else happened at the Golden Globes last night?
Well, according
I had to catch up this morning because I missed the first 2 hours.
According to Page Six, Fiji Water girl Kelleth Cuthbert isn't watching the Golden Globes.
A year ago, all we could talk about was Fiji Water girl,
which is was a fun takeaway for the Fiji Water brand and me, I guess. This year, there was no standout spawn, either in like commercials or on the red carpet.
Which says a lot about, you know, the state of the Golden Globes. Hmm. People were more interested in what was happening at the Globes than maybe last year. People were less interested in them.
They were a little bored. They were looking to other things, other memes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we could talk about Ricky Gervais today. We could talk about the Who's Who won acting awards. We could talk about Ansel singing, which I wasn't expecting.
Here are the nominees for Best Original Song.
The most important things I want to talk about in terms of Who's were the Who's that won that no one knew, meaning Taryn for Rocketman and Awkwafina for The Farewell, which was like my favorite movie of the year, basically. But when she got up there, everyone was like, huh? What? Incredible.
Even she was like, excuse me?
Exactly.
Taron Egerton is, you know, known for Kingsman Secret Service and now Rocket Man.
I saw a great tweet going around that was like, 5 years ago at the Golden Globes, this small British man like photobombed our photo. And his friend said, this is my friend Taron. He's going to be famous in 5 years. And it's like this photo of like Taron Egerton like jumping into these people's photo, and it's like, wow, classic.
Okay, I had a dream about Taron Egerton last night.
Oh wow.
And it was so funny because it was just, I was literally at a party and he was there, and he was, you know, being, you know, as Taron Egerton is wont to do, being very anxious and shy in a corner and not speaking to anyone. In my dream version of Taron, he's just not talking to anyone. And I was like, oh, hi, I'm Bobby. I introduced myself. And we became best friends.
Your dream. That's a crazy dream.
And it was like, oh, and then other friends of mine were there. And then, you know, like, I introduced him to everyone. And I was like, oh. And then by the end of it, I woke up feeling as though Taron Egerton was my new best friend.
What?
I have no idea.
I mean, how long, like, did it take you to like not to realize that was in your dream?
Well, you know, it takes like 1 second when you're like, oh, I'm in my house.
Did you,
like,
were you looking at photos of him before you went to sleep or something?
No.
So why
I was maybe
Taron?
Thinking about him because we had texted like LOL at Taron and Awkwafina or something.
Yeah.
We laughed about Taron and Awkwafina being two big Who's who won.
Right.
And then that must have seeped into my brain.
So your dream was just like that you befriended Taron.
Like, it wasn't a sexy dream. It was just, oh, we're buds.
Only you would just dream this like elaborate setup where you become best friends with Taron Egerton.
Anyway, so now he's a them in my brain.
Your best friend,
but
Taron.
He was Elton John. Also, it's very funny for a biopic. It's, or not funny, rare when the biopic star is just like in every photo with
you. I know.
You.
It is rare. And like so enthusiastic about the entire thing.
Mm-hmm. Like Judy Garland is fully dead and Renee is just up there alone being
right.
crazy.
We don't know what Judy
Taron
has thought.
Taron has his little, you know, his statue of Elton next to him all the time.
I also felt the same way. And I said this to you about how like, Ellen won the Carol Burnett Award, but she was just, Carol Burnett was there because she won it last year. Like, they made this award for Carol Burnett. She won it last year. This is the second year of the award. Ellen, like, quote unquote, won it. But like, Carol Burnett didn't die since then. She's still there. So she's just like watching her award. I just thought that was like, it is funny to, you know, to, it's like naming your kid after somebody still alive. I guess that's not weird. That's less weird. But it is funny to watch Carol Burnett, like, you know, watch her award be presented to Ellen.
Well, you know, they brought Cecil B. DeMille back from the dead, and he was watching from in the wings when Tom Hanks won the Cecil B. award. Yeah. I didn't watch his speech, should I?
Tom's?
I heard he cried a little bit.
He got choked up, but it was very Tom, like midway through the speech. He was like, in 1975, when I was in, and everyone's eyes like glazed over in the audience. They like cut to like Lucy Boynton, who's like going cross-eyed. Like everyone was just so bored. It was very sweet because in true Tom fashion, he just like bored everyone to death. He was like, my theater director at the Shakespeare Company in Vermont was like, step up and do good. And that's my...
And then I did Bosom Buddies.
Right. And... Well, everyone was just like, oh, Tom. Like, it was just so, it was cute.
1,000 years ago in 1977, when I was an intern at the Great Lakes Shakespeare Festival, my first professional job, we all got yelled at by Dan Sullivan, the director. We had partied a little bit too much the night before. We were showing up for rehearsals, and he screamed at us. Well, he did, actually.
Who were some other who's? There was Ansel singing, which was insane.
Insane. Like,
here are the nominees for... Best Original Song.
And why was Dakota Fanning beside him?
Because she was supposed to be co-presenting, but he just...
No, I understand that, but what is she promoting apart from her sister? I don't... What is she doing?
What? Excuse... First of
what
all...
What is Dakota Fanning doing?
That
Lindsay?
Is so rude. Dakota Fanning is just as busy as her sister.
I don't know that.
You know that
I
she's
don't
also
know
busy.
That.
You know... Come on.
Well,
you know.
The Alienist was already canceled, so I don't know what else she's doing.
The Alienist.
Oh, right. She was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yes.
I completely forgot she was
Squeaky from. Yeah.
She was Squeaky. Wait, I take it back. I'm so sorry.
How dare
she
you?
She was literally in a Best Picture
nominee.
And
I'm asking
okay.
you, what's L Fanning up to, Mr.?
Well, she was in that terrible movie where she sang covers.
Yeah,
songs.
But and that movie wasn't nominated for shit.
Best Original Song.
I think he heard that I liked him a lot, and he's just actively trying to embarrass me for that opinion. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm taking it very personally. This is my version of your Taron Egerton dream, I have to say.
Violetta was so proud of him for singing. Oh, she was so
I mean, he didn't
proud of
sound
him.
Bad. It was just weird. Why did he sing? Anyways, moving on. I
well,
don't
it's like it wasn't as good as the iconic Catherine Zeta-Jones coming out and going,
oh, God.
Do you hear the people sing? Today at the Golden Globes, and then she just to me.
Good evening. Do you hear the people say? The grittiness of life in 19th century France, the conflict between right and wrong.
I remember that.
In 19. Do you hear the people sing? And then she smiles. Oh, she's so
here.
Proud of herself. Right. What happened? I also tried looking for this clip of Priyanka and Nick presenting.
I couldn't find it anywhere. So.
You keep
Nick
saying they're
Jonas
gross.
Was there. They are gross. They are.
No, I know, but why was this particular instance gross?
Because,
I know they're
okay,
gross. They're
I'm
disgusting.
Explaining it to you. So this is from my memory. He's there because of like some song. He got nominated for like original song. Also a lot of action around original song. Like Beyonce and Jay-Z showed up late for theirs. Like, you know, Taylor Swift did like a bit with Amy Poehler for hers. Like everybody for original song was kind of like wacky.
Diane Warren's throwing another Hail Mary, like petting her cat,
right.
Being like, whatever.
She's like threatening to blow up the place, like from a phone, from like a phone booth.
She's like, this time I'm hedging all my bets on Chrissy Metz. And right. You're like, good luck this time.
I'm hedging my bets on Chrissy Metz. Okay. No one should do that, by the way. Don't hedge your bets on Chrissy Metz. Okay. Bad
Me.
Odds.
That's like the deleted scene from Uncut Gems. Adam Sandler hedges his bets on Chrissy Metz. And it's like,
no,
another
don't
failure.
Do it. Okay. So
He's
they
like,
get up there.
I'm putting it all on Diane Warren winning for Breakthrough.
Okay, please stop.
Julia Fox is like, I love you, baby. That's such a good bet, baby. Okay. Wait, what else? I'm not done.
So they get up on stage to present together, which is just, oh, God.
Disgusting.
And she goes, honey, this doesn't count as our date night. And looks out at the audience, and he's like, and she's like, nah, 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 nah. And then I forgot the rest of it. But that was like the gist of it.
Ladies and gentlemen, from We Can Be Heroes and The White Tiger, Priyanka Chopra Jonas, and Golden Globe nominee and newest coach on The Voice, Nick Jonas.
Wow, you look amazing tonight, baby. I'm so glad we could get out of the house and be at this beautiful party.
Yeah, well, nice try, Nick, but this does not count as date night, clearly.
Fair point. Here are the nominees for Best TV Series, Musical, or Comedy.
She's like, honey, you know our date night is us going to the On the Border in Hicksville.
Honey. It was like so, it's just so weird to see them be like, my babe, my love, my sweet. They're just, they're so over the top that it's just like, this performance, this performance I would not nominate for any Golden Globe. You know, it's okay. Not, anyways. So they were there.
There were some Who winners. I mean, Who films. One of them was 1917 winning Best Picture Drama.
Right. Everyone's like, what? Even Sam Mendes, I think, was like, me? What? It saw this? People saw this?
This? It's barely out.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. It hasn't gone wide yet. It's barely like you also watched Little Women yesterday, but I saw it yesterday too in theaters for like the 15th time. And there was a premiere for it, and it was like out January 10th. I was like, what? Yeah. It's not out?
It's only New York and LA. So, or you know, limited. Maybe like, you know, well, your Austin's.
And that pissed me off because people kept being like, oh, maybe Little Women isn't getting like nominated or recognized because it just came out. But like 1917 isn't even out yet. At least Little Women is out yet. So it's just interesting to me, you know.
That's Little Women, gotta say, this is not a Little Women podcast. Better the third time.
Better the third time. That's what I said. Better. Getting better every time I see it.
And I gotta say, I was telling this to my friends last night. When I first saw it, I was not as annoyed by the structure as a lot of people were initially, but I was still sort of like, this is a little confusing. I get why people are annoyed.
I like it
by
better.
The third time, I was like, oh, the structure is like full. This is a brilliant move.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
It's a perfect movie.
It's perfect. Yeah. It's perfect.
No, it gets better each time. Each time you notice a new thing,
And Emma Watson, not the worst part of it.
I start tearing up at different parts. I recognize different things that make me emotional.
Yeah, I did. I never cry, but I tear up every time I watch it.
Oh, my
different
God.
You're right. At different parts.
Oh, my God.
Laura Dern, still insanely cast. What a weird, insane casting.
Every
Laura
time
Dern
I
was.
See it, I shift my opinion to be like, Laura Dern is worse than Emma Watson.
Laura Dern is the worst part of that movie, which is not to say she's bad by any means. It's just like she makes no sense in that movie. Emma Watson kind of makes sense in that movie.
It's a jarring, like, takes you out of the movie. And, like, at least Emma Watson, like, feels like she could be there. You know, every time she's like, I'm a terrible actress. You're like, I love it. Yes, Meg. I'm terrible. God, Little Women is so fucking good.
When
it's
Laura
so
Dern is
fucking
like,
good.
There's like, you need a Marmy with like a little edge to her, like a little sourness. Because there's a scene where she's like, I'm angry all the time.
I know.
I'm
well, like,
no, Laura Dern, no, you're not.
Well,
you're literally not.
But like Laura Dern has given that performance, like the one that maybe Greta wanted in other stuff. Like she is like, has played like a mother with an edge and like Big Little Lies and like even in Marriage Story, but it's so modern.
I think even enlightened, she's a little too hippy dippy, but there's like an anger there that's palpable the
but
entire
not here.
Show. And
well,
not here. She's like,
it was funny because I was reading
my girls.
Well, that interview with Saoirse where she was like, she was like, I always play period. Like I had to play modern in Lady Bird to prove that I could play modern. I feel like Laura Dern's the opposite where it's like, she really can't play period. I wasn't,
no,
like I wasn't convinced at all that she existed in this year. She's like,
no,
stepped into
Bob
the
Odenkirk
movie from like 2020.
Sense.
Yeah. Whatever.
Also last thing about Little Women, Laura Dern, not even as characters, if Laura Dern and Bob Odenkirk had children, they would be the most annoying children in all of Hollywood.
They really
the
would.
Most annoying children.
Amy, it would be
so Amy. 1917, it won Best Picture. It's hooey as hell. Prestige Who, as you wrote here, it's definitely a Prestige Who. Missing Link won Best Animated Film, which made me laugh out loud when I saw
that.
Because I was,
isn't that not Pixar or is it DreamWorks?
No,
like, what is
it's,
that?
It's nothing. It's not. I think it's DreamWorks.
That's like shocking that pick, right? Was it?
No, they handed the Hollywood Foreign Press like a bag of gold coins. And
I mean,
they were
I
like,
have
whatever.
No opinion about animated movies. But...
Oh my God, it's Annapurna.
Oh, so it's not even... It's not DreamWorks or Pixar.
Megan Ellison is like, my baby, finally, the number one movie I've ever worked on, finally won.
Like, Missing Link, yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know.
This is a movie about a Yeti?
Yeah, it's like Ice Age. It's like the Missing Link in the...
starring Hugh Jackman and Zoe Saldana? What is this?
I mean, what are you talking
about? Okay.
The other, like, Who drama that we talked about last time was this Michelle Williams stuff, which got even more convoluted, I thought.
Oh, my God.
Like, everything that there's, we're not discussing.
There's no better misdirection than winning a Golden Globe for Fosse Verdon.
I mean, first of all, no better I was so happy that she won. I was like, get on up there and show us what you got. And did she perform? Like, they should give her a Golden Globe for the performance that she did at the Golden Globes.
That was the first thing I saw when I got home. I turned on the TV. It was Michelle, and it was her literally walking up to the stage. I was like, okay, great. Perfect timing. I get to watch her speech. And I was just like floored by it.
I mean, it was a fully prepared.
This woman is brilliant.
A fully written speech about the women's right to choose, which like we all fucking agree with women. Everyone in that room. I know that it's like she's talking to the people in America, like that, you know, she's talking to other people, but like everyone in that room agrees with you.
Yeah.
You know, anyone who wants to hear what you are saying tonight is like not saying boo-boo about women's right to choose, right? Like no one cares. But she gets up there and she's like doing this whole fucking speech and you're like thinking the whole time, what? Like where? What?
You're like, I can't complain, but.
But.
Not once did she thank either Fosse or Verdon, I don't think.
Just what a weird time to, because I don't know. I mean, there were a few people that treated their kind of Golden Globes win as like opportunity to give a speech like about current events, which I think is fine, but ultimately just disappointing because it's not off the cuff and it's not, you know, earnest or it is earnest, but it's not like fun and on, you know, live.
She will defend to the death a woman's right to choose whether or not she wants to watch Fosse Verdon or not watch Fosse Verdon. You want to watch something else? Fine.
Fine.
You want to watch Fosse Verdon? Amazing.
That's your
you
right.
You can do what you want.
Right.
Busy is like, girl.
I mean, I'm not like, ooh, the Joker, but like at least Joaquin got up there and was like, stop taking fucking private planes. That is a message that I can support. Speak to the room you're in. That's amazing. Oof.
And then what else happened? Busy was there. Then the guy was there and they took that photo, the three of them, that couple that they're in.
Terrible.
Oh, my God.
Pierce Brosnan's like two sons were like Mr. and Mr. Golden Globes. Everybody was like into that. We love like the Golden Globes young people.
What are they called now? The
Mr.
They're not called Miss Golden Globes called, anymore. Like, they're called
Young Golden. Young GG or something.
Stay Golden. The golden people.
I mean, these kids are both already. Them. Everyone's like, make them models. It's like they're already models. First of all, have you heard of nepotism? Like, they didn't need the Golden Globes award ceremony to have them be, you know, picked up as models. They are models. You know.
Yeah, they're just like tall, weird-looking children of famous people. So of course they're models.
How you guys feel, man?
We're great. We're doing great. We're so happy and excited and honored to like be here in this capacity as ambassadors and represent our family and the HFPA. And feed a charitable organization all at the same time. Truly an honor.
And when you first were told about it, what was your reaction?
Oh, when we were first told, we were both actually in film class, both in film school. And my mom called us and she's like, we have an amazing opportunity, you too. And it was overwhelming. And now we're here and so much anticipating to now be here. And it's just such an honor to do this with my brother.
And you're both in film school. That's also clearly following in your footsteps, sir. How proud are you, your boys, and is it a dream, I imagine, one day to all work together?
Oh, this is a great honor for Keely and I as mom and dad here for our boys. This is like getting our own Golden Globe, really, for these two young men as young filmmakers to be representing the Golden Globe Awards and as ambassadors.
Who else was on the red carpet? Oh, Bill Hader and Rachel Bilson made their debut as a couple.
No one really made. I mean, there was a few people who cared on Twitter, but
this one tweet that was like, I'm screaming. And everyone's like, I'm fine.
Right. Like, no one cares.
I'm fine. I'm yawning.
I mean, it's almost impressive. Like, they're going to kind of like, I feel like they're going to get one blip and then kind of go under the carpet.
Yeah. And I also feel like Bill Hader, I thought we all agreed that he sucks, but whatever. It's fine.
I've heard a lot of goss. So,
Jason Momoa's arms were out.
He wore a tank top. That's perfect for the Golden Globes. Loved these. The number one tabloid thing of the night, which is A-listy and themmy, but funny in a hooey way that's covered by tabloids, was Jen Aniston being in the same room as Brad Pitt. Like, they cut to her kind of in the background of a shot during his
speech. You could tell they very knowingly were like, we don't want to zoom in on her, but let's put her in it. So they like did a wider shot of like five people and she was among them.
Well, like the room isn't that big and they put all of the stars toward the front. So she was in the same as technically row as him. Like they were both like towards the front of the room.
But it was weird because they would cut to people who were close-ups taking up the full frame. But when it was Jennifer, they didn't cut directly to her.
Right. And she didn't win anything. She was there. She didn't win anything, thank God. Sorry, I hate the morning show, so, like, whatever. But every tabloid was like, Will, Jen, and Brad, like, look at each other, talk to each other, be near each other, blah, blah, blah.
They're fine. They're civil.
They're good friends, she said on the carpet. And then the JustJared.com's take was, here's what Angelina Jolie was up to while the Golden Globes were happening tonight. Love that.
Did you click it? What was she up to?
She was like shopping earlier that day at like somewhere. Who cares? Like, who cares? Some of the arguably funniest Golden Globes reporting is like inside the after parties, you know, where they're just like, they're like, the celebrities were like doing secret things that only they do for each other. And it's like, no, first of all, this is fully reported on. Everyone knows that like there are reporters there, right? Like they're also invited there. And so we have...
They're still at work when they're at these
parties. Right, like they're literally with their bosses and coworkers. Not that that doesn't mean they don't get like wild like you would at an office party, but people acting like they're doing these things behind closed doors, they're not. These are open doors. Not to you, but to them. My point is that there are some great write-ups from E! Online about the different parties. You want to read some of them? Mm-hmm.
Here's one of them. It says, Taylor Swift was there with Joe Alwyn. The duo mingled around the party, looking, quote, inseparable and really in love, noted an insider, a.k.a. Tree Pain. Taylor had her arm on Joe and leaned in to kiss him. Pitt and Aniston reunited with a quick hello and cordial conversation. Quote, they approached each other once they saw each other inside and looked happy as they started to hug and say hello. They were trying to be low-key.
That's like written by a robot. Of course.
They were trying to be
Kerry Washington had a blast. She danced to Beyonce. And was later joined on the dance floor by Reese Witherspoon. They danced to Usher and Justin Timberlake. Daniel Craig refused to dance.
Little fires on the dance floor.
Added the insider. Everybody wanted to talk to J-Lo. Oh, God. She, like, didn't want to talk to anyone. Timothée Chalamet roamed about the affair while Lily Rose Depp sat at a table with some girlfriends. She later exited the party. Solo drama.
That's so rude. I love. At the Beverly Hilton, Moe and Shandon were flowing as guests snacked on egg rolls, fried chicken sliders, and meatballs catered by who else but
Craig's restaurant?
On the dessert menu, sweet pizzas and an ice cream bar. What am I, like at a 14-year-old birthday party? Jesus.
Meanwhile,
Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt were celebrating The Irishman, and then there's this quote. Brad was in a great mood and very social with everyone, an eyewitness told E! News. On the dance floor, he happily took selfies before disappearing into the crowd. Meanwhile, Jennifer Aniston was, quote, inseparable from Jason Bateman's wife, Amanda Anka.
And Sandra Bullock. This was at the Netflix party, so both Aniston and... And Brad Pitt went to both the CAA party and the Netflix party. They were party hopping. What else?
And meanwhile, Sandra Bullock is just like eternally connected to Bird Box and is just like cannot get out of Netflix's hair.
Scarlett Johansson and Colin Jost catch up with Greta Gerwig and Billy Eichner. Plus, there was a Vampire Diaries reunion as Nina Dobrev hung out with Ian Somerhalder and Nikki Reed. Oh, my God. This is like insane. What about HBO?
This star-studded event at the Beverly Hilton was brought out Henry Winkler, Ansel Elgort, Helen Mirren, Larry David, Awkwafina, Mitchell?
Like Shay Mitchell.
Shay Mitchell, and many more. After arriving together, Jason Momoa and Lisa Bonet said hello to Helen Mirren.
The way this is written is insane.
A ravenous Kieran Culkin sat at a table solo while he chowed on some food. Later, he was joined by his Succession co-stars, including Sarah Snook and his on-screen mom, Chaim Abbas. Meanwhile, Awkwafina took selfies with fans, Shay Mitchell raved about her newborn daughter, and Chris Harrison hung out with his girlfriend, Lauren Zima.
So good.
Chris Harrison's like, I can't talk to anyone.
This is my girlfriend, Lauren Zima. Okay, what about this one? Hollywood Foreign Press Association involved. They went to get their statues engraved. It was a total traffic jam, an insider joked. Who cares? Amazon, moderately marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Everyone showed up. Even John Hamm was excited to chat with the comedy stars. Even John Hamm.
Ugh. And then, like, the InStyle and Warner Brothers party, which was in some, you
which, like, parking anyone
lot.
Could get into, truly, under, which is, like...
under, like, a wedding tent.
It was just open.
Ariel Winter and boyfriend Luke Benwald only had eyes for each other, because no one else was there at the Beverly Hilton. As Oasis's Wonderwall played, the actress led her love onto the dance floor. Again, this is probably a parking lot. She sang along and was fist-pumping in the air to the catchy tune.
Was she the only one there? This is ridiculous.
The duo stayed put on the dance floor, singing and dancing as the DJ played hit after hit. She raised her glass in the air when Lizzo's Truth Hurts came on, and during J-Lo's Ain't It Funny, she was grinding up on her man. No one else is here. Oh, Hannah Brown was there, quote, ready to have some fun.
And a witness, while Bella Thorne let loose with some girlfriends, Kate Beckinsale and Machine Gun Kelly talked at length, making intense eye contact before Thorne interrupted their conversation. Meanwhile, Paris Hilton was hand-in-hand with a date. She was touching and rubbing his neck. Other guests included Laverne Cox, Nicole Scherzinger, and Skylar Astin. That is
the saddest party. That is, like, truly the saddest.
How did Ariel Winter...
The most famous person there is Kate Beckinsale.
Ariel Winter and her boyfriend got, like, 14 paragraphs. And Lizzo wasn't even there. Her song just played.
This is I cannot believe that that's it. Like, that's the party. Life what the InStyle party where Ariel Winter and Luke Benwald are on the dance floor alone grinding to Truth Hurts, and then meanwhile Kate Beckinsale's I fucking Machine Gun Kelly as Laverne Cox, Nicole Scherzinger, and Skylar Astin are like, what are we doing here? Hannah Brown, quote, note that Hannah Brown is, quote, ready to have fun, but she's not actually
fun. There's no proof that she's actually enjoying herself.
She's just ready to have some fun. Okay, we have to actually stop talking about the Golden Globes now.
Moving on.
I love to do an ad for a podcast hosted by a who we have literally talked about on the show.
Love that. I love that. I absolutely love that. Welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family. We're going to talk about a new podcast called Jocular, hosted by none other than ER Fightmaster, Tien Tran, and Katie Kershaw. They're comedians, they're writers, they're best friends, and they're obsessed with women's sports. Like a lot of you, I'm sure. They're exploring all things queer, trans, and women forward in the world of sports. And in every episode, they're going to cover the latest games, they're going to debate pressing issues, and they're going to review how they're really horny for basically everyone in the game. You love to see it. Just be honest about it.
You literally love to see it. Friends and experts will join to share their takes on sports ranging from women's basketball to soccer to power slapping.
So tune in every Friday for new episodes of Jocular on Apple, Amazon, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts right now. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. We're done with the Golden Globes.
What a terrible Golden Globes catch up.
Speaking of Michelle Williams, white Michelle Williams revealed her pregnancy and engagement to that random person. Michelle Williams, black Michelle Williams, went on her Instagram and said, a few comments are tricking in. And of course, not trickling, a few comments are tricking in.
Yeah.
And of course, I had to Google to see what was going on. Congrats are certainly in order, but for hashtag Dawson's Creek, hashtag Fosse Verdon, hashtag Brokeback Mountain, hashtag Greatest Showman, hashtag at Manchester by the Sea, quote Michelle.
Michelle. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Because she says this all the time.
Okay, bye.
Her DMs get flooded. People at her when they mean white Michelle Williams, and she
well,
has
white
now,
Michelle Williams is not on Instagram.
Yes, yes.
So, not to be rude, but black Michelle Williams should change her Instagram name so that she doesn't get the bullshit from white Michelle Williams' life. Because God knows that drama is not going to end.
It's still her name. No, the onus is not on her to do anything.
Okay, I'm just saying it's annoying. And she's like always like, my name's going crazy. What did I do? Oh, wait, it's white Michelle Williams. Hashtag Manchester by the Sea.
She's like, wait, I'm not engaged. Wait, I'm not pregnant. Wait, Busy Phillips isn't my best friend.
Right. It is so funny every time she does this. Okay, bye.
I love the hashtag she chose. Dawson's Creek, Fosse Verdon, Brokeback Mountain, Greatest Showman, and Manchester by the Sea.
She wants to remind you that this woman is not
it's
her.
It's this one.
It's this one. She had to see what was going on.
Manchester by the Sea. Can we just call her Manchester by the Sea Michelle from now on?
Manchester by the Sea, quote unquote.
There's
Michelle.
Destiny's Child Michelle and Manchester by the Sea Michelle.
Right, that's better. That's better. Manchester by the Sea Michelle.
More news.
That was slightly old.
Yeah, that was slightly old. This, I love this tweet from Foxy MNJ, whose username is Mona Lisa Vito, which is iconic. Do you know who Mona Lisa Vito is?
No.
Marissa Tomei's character in My Cousin Vinny. The tweet is, Cameron Diaz had a whole ass baby and no one knew.
Yeah, no, she did. She did.
It's impressive.
She had a whole ass baby. I mean,
so let's go on.
Well, everybody was like, it's like, did Cameron Diaz have a surrogate? It's like, she's 47 years old. Something. Yes, science says likely she did use science, you know, mm-hmm. not to be like, what, like, it doesn't
she
matter.
She probably used a surrogate.
But you didn't know that Cameron Diaz.
It literally doesn't matter.
Right. But you didn't know that Cameron Diaz had, quote, a whole ass baby because, one, she's never, like, around. And two, she didn't grow it in her belly. So you didn't see, like, a bump or anything.
But whatever method she used to release Radix onto the world.
Yeah.
No one was really paying attention to her because she wanted it that way.
Right.
You know, so
the reveal was special because
even if she had the world's biggest baby bump, like there were just no photos being taken of her because she was avoiding them.
Although I do
Radix
feel
is the
like
name, R-A-D-D-I-X.
Whenever Cameron Diaz is like goes to the supermarket, I feel like she gets popped a lot because I think people are always like, what's she up to? Where is she? So I think the paparazzi like to get her and then like throw her in the mix more often than you'd think they would for somebody who does nothing.
I never saw photos of her bump, so...
No, she has... I didn't either. But I'm just saying, like, she... It's weird how she's one of those, like, kind of... People are obsessed with the fact that she's not working.
Yeah. Purposely. They're like, oh, she retired. There were all those things about how she retired. Like,
I did
Drew Barrymore was talking about it.
Right.
Yeah. Radix is what they named the baby. Radix is, like, not a name that really exists anywhere. Did you see Margaret Lyons tweet it? She did all the research on, like, birth records.
Margaret Lyons is, like, baby name expert, so that's definitely... I trust her.
And she was, like, fewer than 5 children were named Radix last year in the United States, which could mean 0, could mean 1, could mean 4.
R-A-D-D-I-X.
Mm-hmm.
It's similar to Maddox, which has Welsh roots.
R-A-D-I-X is a word that means a source or origin of something.
Okay.
So there's something sort of interesting about that. Like the if they meant that.
Benji Madden, the dad, used to be in a band called Rad Omen.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, so before I guess my question is like, who's the who
Good Charlotte.
In this situation? Why are we talking about this? Benji is Radix the who?
Radix is the who. But also I think
Benji, we're a little...
Cameron Diaz and Ben Madden are sort of hooey in that we don't hear from them much. And it's the same sort of news cycle as Michelle Williams and what's his butt. Because it's like, oh, here's the news. It's all of the news. Which is, not only was I pregnant, I had the baby and the baby exists and its name is Radix.
So we're talking about this because it's more of a media... It's a media, more mm-hmm. of an interesting media tale.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll take that.
And she announced it on her Instagram, but no photos of the baby. And she's like, we're not going to show the baby.
We also don't know when this baby was born. Like, we don't
know.
They announced it on New Year's because, like, that's a great time to drop news. But, like, we don't know when.
We won't be posting pictures or sharing any more details other than the fact that she is really, really cute. Some would even say rad. Smiley face.
Yeah.
So Cameron Diaz. From our family to all of yours, we're sending our love and best wishes for a happy new year and happy new decade. Sincerely, Cameron and Binge. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
I like Cameron. I like Benny.
Nicole Binge. Richie has a new niece.
Yeah, that's cute.
That's cute.
I never say never to anything, believe me.
Babies included, because surprise, Cameron Diaz and Benji Madden just welcomed a baby girl.
Brielle Bierman says she's getting her lip fillers dissolved.
Love that. Love
the
that.
The photo Us Weekly used is like Brielle Bierman with the biggest lips I've ever seen on anyone.
Yeah.
Outside of maybe like a Disney movie or something.
I mean, and these are, yeah, like, it looks like the candy lips sense. That you put over, you're the wax lips that
They're
you
like
put over your
lips, yes.
And you're like, my lips, like, it looks, those are her lips, yeah.
So this is interesting to me,
why?
Not just because it's Brielle Bierman, but because I didn't know you could do this.
Oh, of
I didn't
course you
know,
can.
I thought you had to just let them sort of go away on their own.
There's always, like, a science to combat the science.
Dissolving them, so you have to put another injection in them.
Yeah.
and then they fall apart.
Fun fact.
The enzymes dissolve the fillers.
The lip filler dissolver is called hyaluronidase, which is a member of the hyaluronic acid family.
Mm-hmm.
Truly a miracle.
So they mix it with mayonnaise. It's hyaluronic acid and
mixed
mayonnaise?
Mixed with mayonnaise. And then they inject the mayonnaise into your lips and it sucks the fat out. I was reading about this because I was very curious. And the funny thing was that a doctor was like, what can happen is it makes your lips go thinner than they were before, which can be scary to a lot of, it can really like mess you up because it can make your lips even smaller than they were when you started, but they give you quote unquote a clean palate to work with if you are injecting again. I think this is all because Kylie Jenner did this a few months ago, a while ago, a long time ago.
Kylie Jenner begins and ends trends about the lips.
It's true.
Speaking of Brielle Bierman, her ex, this guy Michael Kopech, is now married to Vanessa Morgan and E! News.
Photo.
E! News announced this photo crop that E! News did. This guy is just a very tall baseball player.
I mean, this and happens crop, once in a while. Sometimes. I forget. I've tweeted a funny one of this before. Like, sometimes when the image is horizontal and there's a picture of them together and the man is a lot taller or somebody's a lot taller, the crop is never going to make sense. So they just like let it just do this whatever it would like automatically crop to. And it's basically just his whole face and like just her eyes.
Just her eyes.
It's pretty funny, actually.
Riverdale's Vanessa Morgan. She is Riverdale. He is baseball player.
Right. I was like, what else is she? Yeah.
They got engaged. She has like 8 million followers on Instagram. That's the Riverdale effect.
Right. And she walked down the aisle to the song by the guy that's dating Kelly Oxford. Very strange. Yep.
Yoke Lore, Truly Madly Deeply, that cover.
Who is Noah Galvin's brother. What a wild ride this was.
Yeah, it's very strange. And then I looked at one of the lines in the E! News story. E! News had the full exclusive, so they had all the wedding photos. No one else did.
Everyone's at the Golden Globes, and E! like, we're at the wedding of Vanessa Morgan and Michael Kopech. Yeah.
This line that says, of course, the pair's big day was made special by wedding planner Tammy Varma. And I was like, is this like a wedding planner to the stars? No, she's no one. I don't know how she got name dropped in this.
Of course. Well, even she got name dropped because she did it for free. And they were like, you can have this exclusive if you name drop our wedding planner and all of the other things that we got for free. Come on. You know that.
They're the ones. I thought maybe we talked about them, but we could have cut it. They got engaged in that really intense photo under the waterfall.
We dev cut it. Maybe not. No, I think we cut it.
And the dude, when he announced it, he since deleted the Instagram where he announced his engagement, but it said, I'm a very non-traditional type of person, and I know I found my match in you when it comes to that, especially. What? Our relationship probably doesn't make sense to many people for a shit ton of reasons.
Whoa.
But we're not doing it for them. Okay. We know this is forever. Why would we wait? Lol. That's how he announced his engagement.
That's very defensive to the point of being like, me looking side-eye like, what? I didn't know.
That sounds like it's pointed towards family members.
Well, he's like a baseball player and she's not. Like, I don't know what is the problem.
It doesn't make sense to people for a shit ton of reasons.
It's like, I don't know you.
Why would we wait? Lol. We're engaged.
Okay. Well, congratulations to the happy couple. May their wedding never dissolve, like Brielle Bierman's lips.
Can't talk about a relationship growing stronger without talking about a relationship falling apart. And that relationship this week is the one between Linda Perry and Sarah Gilbert.
Well, there's two relationships that are dissolving, one officially, one on the border. We'll talk, maybe we'll like talk about this one and then like allude to the other via speculation. So this one was, they're getting a divorce. Linda Perry and Sarah Gilbert, they've been married for like 9 years. Like they've been together for a while.
Linda Perry, Four Non-Blondes, like basically that, you know, she was Four Non-Blondes.
But she wrote like all of
iconic
Pink's
songwriter. Yes.
Ton of songs.
And right now she's like still prolific songwriter. Sarah Gilbert, former Roseanne star, and I guess she's on the talk.
Right.
She's co-host. Just like iconic Hollywood lesbian.
Two iconic Hollywood lesbians. Power lesbians, truly. So these two breaking up, they have a kid. I think they have a few kids via
She's not on the talk anymore. I'm sorry. She's not on the talk anymore. Take that back.
Loved that the coverage of this was, people did a like first appearance after split, which I think is one of the worst types of coverage, is the first appearance after split, because you learn nothing from that aside from repeating the news. So like if a publication knows that people cared about the fact that Linda Perry and Sarah Gilbert split, they'll say, oh, we should take the photos from this event that were cheap because they're of fucking Linda, you know, Perry, and say, here's the first appearance since the split. And then they'll rehash mm-hmm. the split. So it says, the former Fernand Blanc's frontman, 54, attended the Art of Elysium's 13th annual Heaven Gala at the Hollywood Palladium.
What is this? Like, Los Angeles makes no sense. What? The Art of Elysium's 13th annual Heaven Gala at the Hollywood Palladium.
Right. But, yeah.
Bludgeon me. Right. What?
But Bobby, she wore a pair of black overalls, a black t-shirt, and a pair of black suede shoes while smiling for photos. Perry, who also performed throughout the night, was decked out in gold jewelry. Her signature... I'm not done. Her signature gray bowler top hat. I'm dying because I'm like, her signature gray bowler top hat? First of all, gray bowler top hat is like words that should not go together.
Imagine a gray bowler hat. You can picture that.
Yeah.
Now make it taller.
So like take the like tool on the Photoshop that lets you like...
And go...
Whoop. So she... But
no hat. Like that hat sounds like the noise. Whoop.
And also it's crazy. It's like not only is this hat like... insane, but it's her signature hat. They're like, oh, we've seen this hat before.
This is my signature walk. This is the walk that's going to make me famous. This is a wild hat.
It's a wild hat.
And it's like suede.
It's a wild hat.
Is it suede? It looks suede.
Signature gray suede top hat.
It looks old.
Who decided to mix a top hat with a bowler cap? I'd like to see them in jail. Like, they should go to jail.
Food?
Okay. While I was Googling around about these women to see if there was like anything fun in their histories, because they've been dating for a long time, yeah. I remembered, meaning I didn't really know this, but that Sarah Gilbert and Tobey Maguire quote unquote dated, but they didn't date for 3 years. Like this is too, like who's dated, who has it that they dated, but they were just close friends. And she was quote unquote in the Pussy Posse.
The Pussy Posse, yeah.
She was like the girl in Pussy Posse.
Yeah.
They called her the adjunct member of the pack. She was starring in Poison Ivy when Leo was just guy number one in the script. Quote, if they're a new Rat Pack, she's the Shirley MacLaine figure, says a young actor who hung out with the crowd in LA.
That is a powerful position to be in, to be the sole female member of the Pussy Posse.
Exactly.
Just like this like kind of badass lesbian.
Right. And they've been friends. Like, Toby and Sarah are still, Toby's so good at remaining friends with Pussy Posse people. Like, it's amazing.
Because no one else wants to be friends with him.
Well, it's true. And so they're still friends. Like, I found some article from 2005 that was like, her house is being renovated and she like moved in with him or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like her old friend Toby. There's like video of her going out to dinner with like Jen Meyer when Toby and Jen were together. This is a great friendship that I had forgotten about or maybe never knew about.
Stands the test of time.
Truly.
Yeah, I didn't know about it either.
What's next?
David Foster helping secure Meghan and Harry's Canadian vacation home.
What is this shit? Well, can we just talk about, this is uninteresting, but What's-Her-Face's daughter got married. That was like a huge wedding. New Year's wedding.
Whose wedding?
We didn't talk about that, but Aaron Foster got married.
Oh, Aaron Foster got married. Yeah.
That was like a big deal. And like Jonah Hill was there and gave a speech. There's like a lot of Hollywood.
With a lot of famous people.
Right. That was a big like Hollywood mess of people because everyone loves the Fosters. And Catherine, her stepmother, performed at our wedding, which is wild.
She got married in Nashville, which is fun.
Don't they live there? No? Sometimes? Partially?
Sometimes.
Part-time?
Sometimes. Yeah.
Aaron and who's the other one? Who's the sister?
Jordan?
No.
Jordan.
It's not Jordan.
There's Jordan. Jordan Foster is one of their kids. Sarah Foster.
Sarah and Aaron are the
funny Jordan's the
ones.
Younger Foster. Yeah.
And Aaron Foster was the one who got married. Who did she marry? Mm-hmm. Some guy. I don't know. What's his deal?
Simon Tickman.
Who he?
Simon Tickman.
There are people that really pay attention to like this stuff. Funny thing on People, the first thing they describe her as the bumble entrepreneur. She's not even like a actress or a...
She's an investor, I think.
Right. But it's just so funny that they've really... She really is not even seen as like actress, writer... Whatever, if this
She's
is what
an entrepreneur.
They're calling her. The Bumble entrepreneur, 37, and businessman Simon Tickman tied the knot on New Year's Eve in Nashville.
He's an entrepreneur. He's the managing partner of the fund at First Access Entertainment. Alongside his brother, Alex Tickman, he has invested in a growing portfolio of startups, including Robinhood, Phil's Coffee, my least fucking favorite coffee, Phil's Coffee, Esports Platform, Vision Venture Partners, Espressa, Glimpse, and Exadel.
Interesting.
This guy seems so boring.
Yeah. The Hudsons were there. I think Kate Hudson like performed. which is amazing.
Kate Hudson?
Yeah. They're friends.
Kate Hudson performed?
I think she sang. You know, she loves to sing. Ugh. Kate Hudson is like, I love to sing. That's like, well,
she,
very,
she just loves. She loves a camera. She
Kate
loves a lens.
Energy. Kate Hudson energy is like, I love to sing. Videos shared by Instagram's Vice President of Global Partnerships, Charles Porch, showed Hudson performing for Erin and her new husband, as well as the bride herself, busting out some vocals as she led a group karaoke rendition of TLC's 990 Empowerment hit, No Scrubs. Okay, well, that's nice.
I guess it's nice. So Meghan and Harry are moving to Canada for... we're not moving to Canada. They bought a Canadian vacation home or rented one.
Uh-huh.
And they got David Foster's help.
Uh-huh.
Because he's Canadian?
I don't understand this.
But also, Catherine McPhee is old friends with Meghan. So
that I remember.
There's a weird connection.
Do you remember the photo she posted when they got married?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Catherine McPhee like wants you to know that they're old friends.
So David Foster is finding new ways. It's just David Foster having more capital in like the world of celebrity entertainment than Yolanda Foster in 2020 is mind-boggling.
It's
for the past
true.
2 years, he's been more consequential in terms of like, I don't know, celebrity news impact than his wife.
Yolanda has nothing on what he's accomplished this year.
Nothing.
And he hasn't written a hit song in a while, so it's not even that stuff.
His ability to maintain relevance is shocking.
Yeah.
I guess we don't give Catherine McPhee enough credit.
I mean, she's part of the plan.
Yeah.
She's part of the journey.
Yeah.
And her, you know, 14 gay men who run her Twitter are keeping the lights on in the house.
That she's paying below minimum wage. Okay, Catherine went to school with Meghan, and her sister went to school with Meghan, David said. We actually met Meghan and Harry at D-Day in London maybe a year ago. Immediately, we were drawn to them.
Well...
like everybody is.
I'm sure you
and
were
I was just happy
because
to
they're
help.
Famous and you're like, oh, hi. You know?
This is interesting to me and there's really not much to it, but we haven't talked about Jordan Woods since her Red Table Talk post-Kardashian exile.
Well, like,
exile.
That was so dramatic. Mm-hmm. And then she kind of just, they stopped
fell
being
off.
Friends. No one gave a shit. People stopped caring. And she kind of just kept doing her own thing separately.
And it's funny that now she has a new best friend, apparently, and the new best friend is...
Lori Harvey.
Other than one of the Who's of 2019.
Perfect.
Lori Harvey.
It's perfect.
It really is perfect. It's perfect.
It's perfect.
They're hanging out. They're taking photos of each other in bathroom mirrors. They're getting popped together.
It's perfect.
It's perfect. That's a perfect friendship.
Like, Jordan has had this planned for a while. This is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Lori Harvey
honestly,
is a perfect
honestly, anything
BFF.
But the Kardashians. Stay away from them.
Right. Like, honestly, like, I don't really have, I'm not really invested in Jordan Woods and her life, but
no.
I do think, like, separating yourself from the Kardashians is a solid plan. So, like, and she survived it fine.
And when
no
your job
cares.
Is being the best friend, like, you got to find a new job, a.k.a. a new best friend. And this is a good one. This is a pretty good one.
This
it's
is
at
a
least,
good one.
If not a step up, it's at least a lateral move.
Like, with our powers combined in a very, you know, like, them together is truly the influence of a Kylie Jenner. Maybe not, you know, like, as,
and it's,
like.
And it's mutually beneficial, too, because Lori Harvey gets press for being friends with Kylie's ex-best friend.
Jordan Woods, who we only know for that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, yeah, interesting.
The second part of this Bossip headline was, meanwhile, Diddy debuts a new boo, and it's like, I don't care about
don't
this.
Don't care about
absolutely.
That. Lori Harvey is still dating Future, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they haven't announced a breakup. That's
Amina sent us that really funny, the Shade Room post where, the Shade Room is so often on good, like they really... whatever they switch, they got a lot of stuff. They put a lot of stuff out there, and some
there's
of it's
just so
good.
Much there that right. you have to deal with
but
a lot
they,
to get to like the diamonds.
But a good, an amazing post was that they had a. There was a photo of because like I guess Lori Harvey and Future are still being coy about whether they're together, and there was a photo that like a pair of shoes in a reflection in like a mirror that she took a picture of herself in were the shoes that he was wearing that same day in a photo that he took. So it was like, oh, those are his shoes, like by the bed.
That was incredible detective work.
Like they are in the same place, 100%. Yeah. And I was like, wow, this is like what the Shade Room should be doing. 100.
Of course the Shade Room found those shoes. They are the best investigators on the internet, I would say.
They're good sleuths when they want to be. It's true.
Do we want to talk about Wilmer Valderrama and his new fiance, Amanda Pacheco?
Yeah. Do we? I don't know.
Wilmer Valderrama, known Hollywood player, is settling down. He is now engaged.
The only notable thing about this is that Wilmer Valderrama is engaged, which is like because of his run of exes,
it's like,
which was
it's
impressive.
Like this is akin to Leonardo DiCaprio getting engaged, you know? Truly.
Yeah, I guess. Well, especially for like a very specific type of like millennial, like 2009 is the best. You know, like if you cared about pop culture between a very specific years, he dated like every single person. But he didn't, looking back at who he dated, he didn't date that many people. He just dated a very specific sect of people, like Lohan and, you know, who else did he date? I'm like,
Demi Lovato.
Well, that's recent. Demi Lovato was like last year, but.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, but as far as I can remember, Wilmer is also the category of like dude celebrity who has a lot of girlfriends and is known for being kind of a player who doesn't really have much bad goss. Like there's no, like he doesn't break up with women and the women are like, what a fucking asshole. He breaks up with women and they're like, I liked him. We're still friends. You know, like that's an interesting place to be. I don't really know that. Right. I feel like there was a little bit of drama with him and Mandy Moore, but even
there
she
was because
of the virginity thing. But even that, she doesn't really disparage him. Ultimately,
I mean his list of dating is wild. So this is who's dated who. You can't trust them on everything, but I would say I trust some of these. Christina Milian in 1998. There was a rumor that he dated Jennifer Love Hewitt in 99.
Sure, I believe
Mandy Moore for 2 years in 2000. 2004, he dated Lindsay Lohan. He dated Ashley Simpson in 2005. Mm-hmm. He dated Rihanna in 2009, which I don't even believe, but like whatever, best of luck. Avril Lavigne, 2009, same year. I don't believe that either. Demi Lovato, he dated for 6 years. Mm-hmm. They dated for a long time. He dated Minka Kelly, like while he was not dating Demi Lovato. So he dated Demi Lovato not for 6 years, but off and on. And then while he was off, he dated Minka Kelly, which I guess I do believe.
Okay.
He dated the model Chantel Jeffries, and now he's engaged after dating Amanda Pacheco for, I think they've only been dating for like 6 months.
Yeah, not long. Not long at all.
Yeah.
So now they're engaged. The interesting thing about her is that she's one of those people no one knows. She's just a model, barely a model, kind of. She's not like a huge model by any means. I'm basing this on Instagram follower count, which is not large. And these are some of the things you should know about her. So Life and Style did a 5 things to know about her. E! Did, and someone else. So these are from all three. Life and Styles, these are their number one, number two, number three, which I think is strange to see them in succession like this. Number one, her mother succumbed to cancer. Okay, sad. But that's also not about her. It's about the mother. Number two, she fights for ovarian cancer awareness. Okay. Number three, she has no problem with nudity.
That's weird.
Cancer, she has no problem with nudity.
That's so
weird.
What
a strange way to do this.
So like one of their facts is literally that she got naked in a picture or something. Mm-hmm.
She got topless. Okay.
On
someone else's 5 things to know about her, the number two is San Diego holds a special place in her heart. And it's just based on a photo of her posting a photo of herself in San Diego saying that it's where her parents fell in love.
This is not written by, like, written by, like, computer.
And then number 5 on that same one is dessert makes her smile.
Dessert makes her smile. Because she wrote, nothing puts a smile on my face like dessert. So reverse engineer that one.
Dessert makes her smile. The other fact that isn't even a fact, it was just in the same story. This was in a different story, actually, because I could tell by the font change. Not much is known about Pacheco's past dating life, but she did previously date a gentleman named Ricky. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank I love you. Journalism. I love journalism.
Thank you. A man named Ricky. What's the problem?
But it's like screaming at your editor. I couldn't find any facts, but I think she dated a guy named Ricky. And he's like, put it in.
She got a pear-shaped. Wait, what is this?
This is funny because
thing?
It's like she got a pear-shaped diamond, but every story about it is like, famously, pear-shaped diamonds were famously dumped on by Carrie Bradshaw in the episode where Aiden proposed with a pear-cut diamond, and she was like, "I hate pear-cut diamonds," and she's like, "They're back now." And they interviewed. They did the classic people thing where they talk to like an expert who's just a jeweler, and it's this woman who's like, "It's a new decade." It's this. This quote is from a jeweler they interview for the story because they obviously couldn't get Wilmer or Amanda Pacheco. It's a new decade, and the stigma against pear-shaped diamonds promoted by Carrie Bradshaw back in 2001 is long gone.
What?
All this news is relies on you having to make a mountain out of a molehill, and this is one of the dumbest molehills I've ever seen. But they turned
one of the things that I found about her through her five things, but then I like traced it back mm-hmm. was, and this was in the newsletter that I wrote last week, patreon.com/whoweekly. In her Instagram bio, one of her like things, capital T things, is that she does diving. Mm-hmm. She's a paddy dive master.
Oh, she's a dive master.
And I Googled
yeah.
what that was. That means she can teach diving to others. Like that's one of the higher like certifications that you yeah. can get as a diver. And her Instagram name is Seaweenie. Like seaweed, Seaweenie.
Oh,
get it?
Okay. I get it.
So she's like, one of her big things is like diving. I don't know. That's better than most of the things on this list.
I will say most of the five things included she's into diving, but I thought that was actually a helpful fact, so I didn't even bring it up.
Right. So that's a help. So
that's
the only thing that we know that's helpful is like this woman dives and is not just like has done it once, like does it a lot. She's a paddy dive master and model.
Okay. Okay.
Right. That's it. No, I mean, that's all yeah. that we got.
And now we can move on
and
to Rita.
And now she's engaged to Wilmer Valderrama.
The only other thing that I had on here was, well, I had on this thing. Okay, moving on. It's time to talk about Rita.
What was she wearing? Where was she seen? She posted what on Instagram? She's the Who Queen. Tens of people want to know all about. What's Rita Ora up to?
Who is this woman?
Masked Singer UK mm-hmm. premiered, and she's already a meme. She's already a meme.
I mean,
Masked Singer revealed one of the people.
She's the one where that everyone's like talking about. Every like promo is like, Rita's there. And she's like, what? Yes. Hi. What?
I'm here.
Yeah. Like, is it a show if it's not like a Rita hosted show? You know, mm-hmm. the Masked Singer UK, we've got Rita on the panel, which is incredible because Rita, that means Rita's not in the masks. Mm-hmm. Not that, again, Rita is not actually a good fit to be in the masks. It's people who you don't know sing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not supposed to be like a Rita Ora, even if you think that the fame level would be. In the UK, she's famous enough to be on the panel. But then again, Nicole Scherzinger was famous enough to be on the panel in the US. So let's be real. Like, it's mm-hmm. not actually a matter of. Everyone involved in the Masked Singer is who he is, what I yeah. guess my point is.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
So Rita's on the Masked Singer. They reveal their first like reveal, which is so funny because the UK version is like, you know, even more befuddling to us
because we don't know who any of them are.
Because we don't know who any of them are. But remember our UK correspondent, Jono.
Jono English.
He DMs us. Love him. And he DMs us and he sends us this Rita clip, this like meme where it's a picture of her being like surprised at somebody was revealed. And it says, when you definitely know who Ellen Johnson is, meaning like Rita Ora is a Lindsay Lohan of the Masked Singer UK, where she like doesn't know who anyone is anyways.
And it's because I guess the guy who was revealed, it's not even an entertainer. It's literally a politician.
Don't you think like British entertainment has more politician-esque commentators in their sphere of celebrity than we do, though?
I feel like I don't know enough to make a comment about that.
I just feel like whenever I watch like a British quiz show and they have people on it, the talking heads are always more like intellectual types mm-hmm. than we would have. But I don't know. I mean, again, I don't know. But that's just my generalization. It's always like these weird satirists that are famous-y and that we really wouldn't have a version of that in the mm-hmm. U.S. as much as they would. So It turns out the guy who was like demasked on The Masked Singer is this guy named Alan Johnson. Mm-hmm. And I was like, who is that? And Jono goes, LMAO, I cannot even think of an American equivalent. He was Home Secretary for a year in 2009.
For 1 year.
So I go to this guy's Wikipedia and it says, Alan Johnson is a British Labour Party politician who served as Home Secretary from June 2009 to May 2010. Before that, he filled a wide variety of cabinet positions in both the Blair and Brown governments, including Education Secretary, Health Secretary, and Home Secretary. He's 69 years old.
Rita was a teenager. Rita was a teenager. She didn't know.
But this is a perfect Masked Singer person.
Everyone goes, perfect. They're all going, Alan Johnson! Alan Johnson! And Rita's like,
no! I know.
No one knows who Alan Johnson is.
Right. Thank God I'm not having to guess who these people are because I don't fucking know who Alan Johnson is.
No. Anyway, the meme is when you definitely know who Alan Johnson is, and it's just her looking surprised as if she's recognizing this person, but she obviously has no idea who it is.
She was in Detective Pikachu. She can act.
She's in the upcoming film, Twist. Next headline. Makeup-free Rita Ora is uncharacteristically low-key in a hoodie and tracksuit bottoms as she goes grocery shopping in Los Angeles. The hot right now singer, 29, kept things very casual in gray sweatpants as she wandered around the store with her cart.
I don't think I've ever seen her this dressed down and in a grocery store.
I don't think I have either.
Like, this is kind of a wild photo.
Seeing Rita in a grocery store pushing her little cart, like full-size cart, like not even a Trader Joe's cart, like full-size cart through a grocery store. There's like five items in it. I feel like I'm looking at something I shouldn't be seeing. Like a peek.
I don't like it at all.
It's a peek behind the curtain that honestly is very discomforting. I don't like it. Yeah, I don't like it either.
Like she looks too much like me. Like when I do that. Like I don't want Rita to
like
resemble
this is too,
me in my
this
life.
This is Stars Are Just Like Us. This is too much. She's too much like us.
Like I cannot deal with this. What is she buying? Like Tupperware? I can't tell.
Casual. The singer donned a pair of patterned shoes which had a green strap across the front. I just put this there because she wears them later in a photo.
Uh-huh.
In the photo where she's leaving, she's leaving the quote doctor, but she's leaving with a face mask on. She's also wearing the same.
She's wearing the same shoes.
But it's like, why does she have a face mask on?
Maybe she was sick. She was at the doctor. Maybe she's a cold. Maybe that's why she's wearing the sweatpants.
Yeah, okay.
What are you thinking?
I don't know. Maybe she was covering her face for some reason. I don't know.
Okay.
It's interesting.
Well, interesting. Days later, she posted this stay hydrated. Was that before or after she got sick? We don't know.
I think that was before. Because that was on New Year's. And she posted a photo of her kind of like braless thirst trap, like wearing a sort of halter top. Is that what that is? Crop top, tank top? A crop tank top? Her boobs are kind of out. And she's in this like beautiful place. And she says, stay hydrated, kids. I guess it's because like you're going out, you're drinking a lot, so stay hydrated. Maybe is that what she means? Stay hydrated, kids.
I mean, I don't think that's supposed to be a deep. Yeah, that's what she means.
She also said that she fancied the chameleon on Masked Singer, and the chameleon is well known currently on the season of Masked Singer because he has a quote massive bulge.
No, I hate that. I don't want to talk.
And Rita
about
said he looks fit. Rita giggled. I never thought I'd fancy a chameleon. So Rita fancies a chameleon.
I think that is
that's it.
Pretty much.
Oh my God. So much Golden Globes in this episode. Thank you for listening to Who Weekly. Follow us at on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Who Weekly. Support us on patreon.com/WhoWeekly for bonus episodes and a weekly newsletter. What else is there to say? Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. That'd be amazing. And we will see you on Friday with another episode of Who's There. So call in at 619-WHO-THEM if you have any questions, comments, or concerns. And we'll see you then. Bye.
Bye.
You will drive it. Yo, they wanna know.
Hey.
Mia.
Hey.
Mia.
Hey.
Who is that?
To choose when
to watch Fosse Verdon or not watch Fosse Verdon.
And with whom? When I felt supported and able to balance our lives, knowing as all mothers know that
you want to watch Fosse Verdon? Amazing. You can do what you want.
I know my choices might look different than yours, but thank God or whomever you pray to that we live in a country founded on the principle that I am free
to watch Fosse Verdon or not watch Fosse Verdon.